The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's a great Monday. We have one of those shows that I like. We have lots of lines in the water, as I like to say, trying to land a big fish or two, and we will work on that. I have a lot on my head today that I want to share with you. Sports related, some not sports related. This will be the last time that you see me in this space for a few weeks. I am going to be undergoing a double knee replacement tomorrow, Tuesday. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the reasonings behind it. I'll just be quite simple and straightforward to you guys as usual. I've been miserable for about the last 4 years, bone on bone, when you compete, when you're in high school, when you're in college. And I've had five knee procedures, ACL tears, ACL reconstruction, clean out, cadaver tendon rejection. So I've had it. My wife's had two knee replacements, and she's in her early 50s. And she never gave a lady's age out, but I just did. And so here we are, like, life is too dang short. The staff has seen me hobble around here for the last few years. I just haven't said anything about it because I've had other surgeries that my family had to have taken care of. And so I'm so excited tomorrow. I don't know the time yet. I'll find out later today. But I'm so excited tomorrow to walk in and hear crunch, 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 and to get in and lay down and go to sleep and wake up and face the biggest challenge that I've had to go through physically. There's no question. Two knees at the same time, they're going to get me up tomorrow night from what they tell me, and I'm going to have to walk tomorrow night. So the swelling is going to be a big issue, so on and so forth. Bottom line is I'm not going to be here. And Jeff Munn will be here. Jordan Hamm will be here. Jody Jackson will be here. Luke Lipinski. Luke's coming, right, Eric? Luke opted in, as we like to say. So it's one of those things where everybody pitched together and we're just going to get this done. I was hoping to get this done in the dead of summer. It's the start of the football season. My goal is to be sitting back in this chair the week after Labor Day. So we'll just see how it works out. And in the meantime, I'll write because I'm going to be bored out of my mind. Rehab is the hardest part. If you don't have a therapist that is making you cry at the other end of the table when you're doing rehab, then you have a bad therapist. So the whole thing is strengthening and getting these two knees. People I've talked to, I've talked to dozens of people that have had singles and doubles. And the doubles part of it, yeah, there's going to be some frustrating days. There's going to be some days where I'm like, what was I thinking? But I am mentally ready for this. The last few weeks sitting here doing the show, many days I've just been focused on, okay, this is coming, and I've got to be ready to do it. And so I'm ready to do it, and I'm excited. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. Guys, I'll talk to you about sports here in life insurance. So many of you dads and moms are wanting to get your kids taken care of with their college, and you want them to get a football scholarship. So a football scholarship does not cover everything. I was sitting with a mother on Saturday morning, and she was talking about how they moved their son in. This is a high-end player at a high Division I program, a well-known name here from last season. And she talked about how the several thousand dollars that it took to get him moved in that is not covered under a scholarship. Okay. And you've got to think about that. And I mentioned how universal life is a way that you can, universal life insurance policy builds cash value, can borrow against it. When you're sitting there with some other plans and they're looking at your financial aid, they may say, oh, well, you have this put away in this savings account, that counts. They don't do that with a universal life policy. All right. So there's many different ways you can use life insurance, including paying for the start of college. When they move into the dorm, that's not paid for. Sheets, TV, food, snow, travel back and forth, that's not covered. So think about that as you're getting ready with your kid. If you believe your kid's going to be college bound, then start acting like it yourself. Get a policy with Sagicor. Appreciate Sagicor, Sagicor Now, and their support. I don't believe that doing this show and starting out with, boy, I cannot wait for Kyler Murray and the Raiders is what we are all about. It's not. So it's fine to talk about Kyler Murray and how exciting he played the other day, because he was great. But I swear to God, when the Cardinals get another person arrested in their front office, we're not just going to sit here and be like, oh, well, can't wait for the game on Thursday, and that didn't happen, and that doesn't involve football, and fans don't want to know about it. Michael, come on. First it's Steve Keim a year ago, now it's Ron Miniger, and Ron's picture is not good. Arrested for DUI. And Friday it was Darius Phylon, arrested outside a Phoenix strip club, and you release him, and it was Robert Kimdichie and all the stuff with him, and it's just like, guys, what is going on here? We can't, in society, we should not accept a team that is sitting there just saying, look at us on the football field, when there's issues like this going on off of it. Being in a bike lane, because I'm a biker, I like to ride my bike. I don't ride in bike lanes because guys like Ron Miniger drive in bike lanes. That's in the police report. And the idea of calling Uber and Lyft just cannot be that hard. It can't. If one league has it all figured out for their personnel, their employees, it's the NFL. They give them a card with, if you're in trouble, call this. So here we are on a Monday, and it's another incident that's it's not even an incident. This is serious stuff here. And the Cardinals put out a press release. It's very, very strict in its wording. But it's like one thing after another with this franchise. And so the idea of, well, there's Kyler Murray and David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and try to sweep it under the rug. No, people should be outraged by this. They should. And people internally at the Cardinals, I'm sure, are outraged by this. So I'll get over to the football stuff, but you got to represent in the right way in the community and not just say, well, isolated incident, we have a lot of employees. No, you're the NFL. You're the big, bad NFL. The stuff nationally that's been going on with helmets, I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit, and Antonio Brown. Peter King is supposed to be with us today. I am not sure we're going to get Peter or not, because this Antonio Brown story has developed into the biggest bleep storm that we've seen in a while. What's interesting is Peter did a deep dive on his podcast about 3 months ago with former Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin. Doug is someone that has put his own money into a helmet company in Seattle, and Peter went to the helmet company with Doug Baldwin. In this podcast, they talked at length about how helmets that had been used in the past were not going to be allowed to be used. And now Antonio Brown is in the middle of this. Numerous other players aged out of their helmets. Helmets that are more than 10 years old no longer meet the league's safety standards. Part of me is saying that this issue by Antonio Brown is, again, another way of him missing training camp. It's like Ezekiel Elliott is going to sit out the entire season. Sure he is. I believe more that Le'Veon Bell is going to sit out the entire season last year than I do Ezekiel Elliott. It feels like Antonio Brown, what do you know? I got my feet burned in the cryo room. And, well, now I don't want to come because my helmet, and the helmet that is on the ban list, and you want to sue the NFL, and if you get hurt, you know, is he threatening if he wears the helmet by the league and he gets hurt that he's going to turn around and say, see, I should have been able to use my own helmet? So I'm going to get further into that. And long and short of it, Peter was supposed to be here in Phoenix today. We'd hoped to have him in studio. Peter changed his plans, as he should have, and he's in Oakland today, because the Antonio Brown story is everything that is being talked about. And I think it's a very healthy conversation back to player safety. I just, in the back of my mind, wonder if this is another way of Antonio Brown saying, oh, there's another few days of camp that are gone, and another few days of camp that are gone. Another guys that Aaron Donald was famous for this last few years. Oh, I'm just not going to come to training camp. And you're the Rams, and it's, what are you going to say? Because they know it's a joke. They know they don't need to be there. And I think there's some of that here. So I'll talk further about that. The Diamondbacks weekend in L.A., ASU, and their quarterback situation, which has never really been a story in my mind, other than let's just make sure we release it the week before our first game so we get as many people talking about it as possible. This has been Jaden Daniels' job all the way to last December, when Arizona State was playing in Las Vegas against Fresno State, and Jaden Daniels was at a blackboard putting up on the blackboard how he's going to run the offense at Arizona State. This is nothing more than media. Just, you know, we gotta fill time, man. We can't sit there and say that Jaden Daniels is the guy, and ASU is not going to sit there and say Jaden Daniels is the guy, because, man, then we're not going to get the splashy headlines. We're not going to take – long and short of it, Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy. Never been a dispute about this. And the Brittany Griner fight, I don't know if you guys saw that over the weekend. Man, the Mercury, six people ejected in a WNBA fight, and Brittany Griner's in the middle of it, and Diana Taurasi is ripping on the league. It was great. It was great stuff. Also, a note on Marvin Bagley I'll get to in the day's show. On the other side, we're going to circle back because Tom Brady is now in the middle of this whole Antonio Brown story, and I'll explain how it is that Tom Brady is the news of the day just within the last hour on this subject and more. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Stay with us. So this Antonio Brown story is taking over every corner of the NFL, and I think you could even make the case it could go over into other sports at some point in some way, shape, or form. And all I can say on this, Larry Fitzgerald, I think, summed it up best about Antonio Brown, and that he doesn't really realize how fortunate he is to be given the gifts that he's been given. There are guys in sports that I just have no tolerance for. Michael Beasley is one of those guys, and somehow, some way, I think it's his eighth NBA team signed him to a contract. This is after he was here in Phoenix and rolled over on his belly and scratched the fleas and took money from the Suns, basically, because he wasn't very good. Somehow he keeps showing up over and over and over again. Antonio Brown is a player that is immensely talented athletically, but burned down the house in Pittsburgh. Now he goes to Oakland. Now he's upset about the helmet situation. And this morning it comes out, the NFL, just in the last few minutes, said that Antonio Brown has filed a formal grievance against the league over a rule that requires players to wear helmets that have been certified by the National Operating Committee for Standards and Athletic Equipment to protect against possible head injury. He is saying he should be allowed to use his 10-year-old helmet model despite the league's restriction if he follows through on his threat and retires from football. First of all, okay, fine, see you later. Or voluntary sits out team activities, which is code for, I don't want to be a part of training camp. I'll come back week one. And I'm Antonio Brown, and John Gruden will welcome me back with open arms, and it will go from there. He would void a three-year, $50 million contract that is set to pay him $30 million in guaranteed money over the next two seasons. So, guys, you put a flag in the ground, you draw a line and say, I'm not crossing this line, but over a helmet, you're going to say, nope, I'm not taking my three-year $50 million deal. I am not taking my $30 million in guaranteed money over the next two seasons because of the helmet. Now you tell me, how much sense does that make, starting with a C, not an S, how much sense does that make? None. And so when you hear that story, it's, okay, to me, this has some to do with I don't want to be in training camp, A. B, I'm going to make this an issue about me, which for some reason feels like a lot of Antonio Brown. This takes us over to Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's weighed in here in the last hour on all this. Tom Brady is no longer to allow to wear the helmet that he's worn. He said this morning on WEEI in Boston, you get used to the same helmet for a long period of time, and I did that. My last helmet, I wore it for the last four Super Bowls, so it was a pretty great helmet for me, and I hated to put it on the shelf, but that's what they said to do. I am wondering what Larry Fitzgerald's response will be to this story today, because last time I checked, Larry's been here a long, 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 long time, and I can't imagine that Larry, no matter how he feels, is going to stand there and say, I am supporting Antonio Brown on this. I have to wear the helmet or I am not going to play. No, that's not how he is. That's not who he is. However, do I see a point? Do I think the players have a point here? NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy this morning said, quote, the player can't practice or play in games with equipment that's not approved. If he doesn't play or practice, he's in breach of his contract and doesn't get paid, end quote. So Tom Brady is in a space where he's the exact same situation as Antonio Brown. Do I think players become comfortable with the equipment that they wear in the sport of football? Do I think they become comfortable with their helmets? And the answer for that is absolutely for sure. However, is the game trying to get safer? Is there someone on the side at the helmet company that is getting paid a large amount of money from the National Football League and the NFL Players Association? Antonio Brown seems to think this is an NFL deal. No, this was collectively bargained by the NFLPA. The NFL Players Association agreed to this wording. And so they have every right. You want to go take on your players union? Now, how's that going to work out for you? Well, the players union did not stand alongside of me. Joe Staley, who's been an offensive lineman for the 49ers for the last 14 years, talked about how he had to get out of the helmet and how he wasn't too happy about it, but he understood. Tom Brady, much the same way. Tom Brady, I hated to put it on the shelf, but that was what they said to do. So I don't see Tom Brady saying, I'm going to walk away from this. Tom Brady said in the last hour, quote, I've been experimenting with a couple of different ones. I don't really love the one that I'm in, but I don't really have much of a choice, so I'm just trying to do the best I can to work with it. I'm thinking that Tom Brady is probably not going to forget how to play the game of football, but like a musician, if you have a certain guitar, I've seen that with musicians, where they will say, I have to have this to use to play when I've interviewed them. I have to have a certain this or a certain that. It's not a safety issue. It's just their comfortability. I just feel like this story, if Antonio Brown is going to turn the whole league into him, last week it was freezing his feet. Now it's his helmet. What else can it be? And when we get to about, I don't know, Labor Day weekend, somehow Antonio Brown has decided to report to the Oakland Raiders camp. And Antonio Brown's going to be on the field. They'll dock him a little bit of money. Ezekiel Elliott will find the same way. Yeah, I'm going to show up. I'm going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Same deal. Every year there are guys that do this. Not to this extreme of, well, it's the helmet. Well, it's my feet. Crazy. On the college football front, so Arizona State opens next week against Kent State. The Golden Flash is one of the great nicknames out there. And U of A opens next week against Hawaii. This is the last week where we do not have college football. We are college football fans first here. Doesn't mean we don't like the NFL. There's just something that is more to us special about the college football experience, the college football game, the kids that are between the ages of 18 to about 23 versus when they get over to the NFL and things change just a little bit more. College football and its popularity in stadium, has waned some. People go to games and they're on their phones doing Snapchat, Instagram, checking their Facebook, and they're really not engaged nearly as much as they once were. So it's unfortunate that college is like that. The NFL has turned into nothing more than gambling. Nothing wrong with gambling if you want to put some money down on it, if you can afford it, if you have the money put away. They also have turn towards the fantasy game even more. And the fantasy game has been around a long time, but without gambling and without fantasy football, the NFL is really not that great of a product for many people. So you take all those and you look to the college game and say, okay, I'm excited. I actually think that this season, bold prediction right here, and I'm not on pain meds yet for surgery, that the Territorial Cup game is going to be meaningful this year. Guys, if you understand what I'm saying here, if you think that the ASU-U of A game is meaningful on a national stage, you are really not paying attention to how mediocre these two programs have been through the years. Usually, it comes down to, we're ASU, we're U of A, we want to beat them. U of A kind of cares, but basketball is more of a bigger deal to them. And so they play the game. They play it opposite of Alabama-Auburn, so people aren't even watching it. They play it opposite six other games, so it's not a big deal. I've said that they should move the game to be at the start of the season. BYU Utah is doing it opening weekend. They're going to be by themselves, prime time. But people are like, oh, no, no, this is how it's always been. Make the game more meaningful by having teams that are really, really good. Usually this game leads to a all-expense-paid trip to El Paso or Las Vegas. You can drive to El Paso or Las Vegas. I would like this game to mean much more. This year, because ASU has a running back in Eno Benjamin, and U of A has a running back in J.J. Taylor, and both schools have a quarterback that I think is going to be interesting. Khalil Tate supposedly, reportedly, is more engaged this year and is on the same page than he was last year with Noel Mazzoni. We'll find out in their opener next week against Hawaii. Jaden Daniels, tonight at practice, will be announced as the starting quarterback by Arizona State. And when that happens, it will start a new era for him. I think he's a player that is immensely talented, makes great throws, but he's a matchstick. He's as thick as this pen. And so you wonder about his durability. I mean, everybody's got stuff you can nitpick apart. A year ago, Khalil Tate's Heisman Trophy candidate. Yeah, and he got hurt in the first game. And guess what? They lost and his season was done. So you can't sit there and say Jaden Daniels is going to be the next this, the next that. You can hope, and you should roll Kent State, and you should roll Sac State, and then you should be ready to take on Michigan State. And if you do win those first two games and Eno Benjamin rolls up some yards and you play on a national title or national stage against Michigan State, it could be a coming out party for Jaden Daniels. It could be a Heisman Trophy dark horse moment for Eno Benjamin. Could be. I'm not saying he's going to be. Look, the Heisman this year is Tua and Trevor. I understand that. But if either one gets hurt, give me running backs that averaged over 5 yards a carry in college football last year. You can't find them. There's a few, and one of them is right here in Tempe, and another one is in Tucson. Both averaged over 5 yards a carry last year. It's pretty impressive. So with the season getting started finally, and Captain Azona's fine. It's, you know, they went up there and did it. Boosters were happy. The alums were happy. They did the scrimmage. They got out of there. U of A has been going through their practices every day. Both teams kind of sort of being talked about a very little on a national stage in the Pac-12. Everybody's focus is on Utah. But I think we're going to have a really interesting college football season within our state. I don't think these are going to be two teams that are, and we're rolling on this, so if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't think this is going to be 2-8 or 3-7. I really don't. I'm excited for it. I think Jaden Daniels is going to bring a level just like Kyler Murray. Two very exciting players at that position. All right, on the other side, some Diamondbacks. Why is Marvin Bagley pulling out of Team USA? And much more on a busy Monday. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now to the baseball team. So the Diamondbacks, I loved what they were all about on Friday night in L.A. against the Dodgers. I was out doing some things, and my phone started to blow up. Fight. It wasn't a fight. It was a dust-up. But in this day and age, when grown men come out and push and shove and all that stuff and have words, I think it was the way, if you're a Dodger fan, you're going to say Archie Bradley shouldn't have said anything, and A.J. Pollock was right. The umpire missed the call. If you're sitting here in Arizona, your lens was, yeah, it's great to see grit out of the guys, and it's the Dodgers. They're the guys that peed in our pool, and we've always resented them, even though they kick our tails around, and they win big, and we don't. So I'm on the side of the street of, I'm here in Arizona. I see a baseball team that, since Greinke left, and there's some people that were not on the Greinke train on a national media side of things, that when he was let go, said to me, you know what, it's going to be better for the Diamondbacks in the clubhouse. I don't know what that's all about, because I've heard just the opposite from some people. But there was no denying that up till Friday night, the team had played better baseball. They had since Greinke left. I think the thought was, well, they're waving the white flag, the season is over. And instead, they closed the gap all the way down to a game and a half on Saturday morning. We're sitting here today, they're 3 back. So do the math, they had a bad weekend in L.A. after Friday night. Dave Roberts came out and started yelling at Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray took some shots at Dave Roberts, and so that's his tough guy thing that he tries to, his persona. He's a tough guy. So Friday night was just filled with fun and fireworks and something a little different. And to me, it was showing some grit, which I think every good team has to have. You don't have grit. If you just have a bunch of nice guys in sports, you're not going to have big success. You're not. The 2001 team that won the World Series had grit. The Cardinals Super Bowl team that lost by a nanosecond to Santonio Holmes had some grit. They had guys. They had dudes. There are some players that you would look at and say, yeah, that guy kind of rubs me the wrong way. I'm not sure I really like what he's all about. Or they do the extra shot, the extra push. It was just something about them that felt like, man, Edgerrin James is just kind of, he's not a bad guy, but there's just a grit about him, and he's already won, and now he's here on this team. And go down the list of guys on that Super Bowl team. Go down the list of the 2001 Diamondbacks. Mark Grace and what he's all about, or was all about as a player. You know, so the Matt Williams deal, the Jay Bells of the world, Randy and Kurt, teams that have big success cannot be filled with a bunch of nice guys. They can't. I don't care who you are. If it's Mike D'Antoni and the 7 seconds or less Suns, Rajah Bell is your grit. Amari is your grit. Boris Diaw, in a certain sort of different kind of way, is your grit. Steve Nash didn't give a rat's. He went after guys. Not often, but it wasn't a team filled with, when Danny Ainge was with the Suns back in the day, that was a grit guy that very few people liked. If he's on your team, you love him. If he's not on your team, you hate him. And so the Diamondbacks, this current squad, you know, Archie has been the guy that has been one to say things to get the fans excited. But earlier this season, he wasn't producing. Hard to be a leader, hard to be a tough guy, hard to be a grit guy when your job is to come out of the bullpen and it doesn't work. But in fairness to him and a compliment to him and to Torey Lovello, we're going to take Archie out. We're going to do everything but send him down to the minor leagues, even though people want to send him down to the minor leagues. I don't feel like that's ever the solution for a guy like that. A 1 year, 2 year guy, maybe. No, that makes zero sense. And Archie was able to rehab himself. The team rehabbed him, and now he comes back out, and he's dealing and delivering. And that's what he did Friday night. He gets excited, tells A.J. Pollock to sit down. How do you not like that? Get off the field. Then you have Dodger players stand on the top of the rail, and they're chirping back and forth. And then the game ends, and Archie says things, and the dugout's clear. It would have been nice to see them not get blown out on Saturday and Sunday if you're a Diamondbacks fan, but that's what happened. They're not going to catch the Dodgers, but they need to stay relevant in this wild card chase. I don't know if you've seen the wild card. Like, the Mets were going to fire Mickey Callaway. Mickey Callaway was done, finished. The Mets were heading nowhere. And all of a sudden, they're a game out of the wild card. Cincinnati Reds heading nowhere. Nowhere. And Sonny Gray wakes up and learns how to pitch again. They go get Trevor Bauer, and all of a sudden, you look at the Reds' rotation, you say, you know what, they're pretty good, and they're in the middle of the wild card chase. So here the Diamondbacks are now going to Colorado after dropping 2 of 3. They're 3 back. They have Merrill Kelly on the mound, who's been dealing batting practice the last few times out. It's not been pretty to watch him pitch. Mike Leake yesterday. Mike Leake has given up 20 home runs this season. 20! And so yesterday, this game was 6-0 after 3. It was over. You had to have Alex Avila pitch. That's never a good thing. So this is really a key week that you can look at and say, these are the dog days of summer. Or look, if you fall 4, 5, 6 back, then you're done. You're finished. I guess all there is to look forward to is preseason football on Thursday against the Raiders. So these games against Colorado, and Colorado stinks. Colorado's not been good this year. These are big games starting tonight. These are like playoff games, because I think this team does have some grit guys on it. I think that there's some guys on this team that, if Greinke being removed from the locker room, the salary's cleared up, some guys come through, some guys are allowed to breathe, show themselves, step forward, whatever it is, they haven't folded their tents. I think it speaks a lot about how hard they've played after the deadline. A lot of teams, you trade away their ace, and you're like, okay, what exactly are you doing? Hey, honey, can you go reserve the U-Haul for September 30th? Because we're not playing in the postseason. a big brawl that happened within our sporting community. I'll get to that. And a little bit more about surgery and what I'm expecting with having both knees pulled out tomorrow. Stay with us. All right. So I have not talked to Eric yet today. What do you make out of everything going on in town? Like the Cardinals and
on the field or off the field?
Exactly. Did it bother you, the stuff with Minniger? Like, I know Ron. I don't know if you know Ron.
Yeah,
I know Ron.
I don't know him. I know of him. Yeah. I've seen him. I know he's been there for a long time. I know he's well-respected in that building. You're a public figure. I mean,
Uber, Lyft.
Exactly.
Uber.
You make lots of money.
Uber, Lyft.
I will give you the money. Just be smart.
How do you think
because you're not only endangering your life, but like you said, I mean, he's driving in the bike lane. How drunk do you have to be?
So my wife gets mad at me because I've been riding a ton. I ride in bike lanes. She won't ride on bike lanes. My brother-in-law will not ride on bike lanes. I get people to look at me funny when I ride on sidewalks. Like, this is a sidewalk. You have a bike lane over there. Because people text and people are ripped.
Yep.
You can't ride on bike lanes. I almost got taken out. What was it, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. I was at Ellsworth and Riggs, and I was in South New Mexico, and I'm riding across, and the guy just ran right through it and then waved at me, or either waved his finger or waved at me, even though I had the arrow. And I'm on a bike, just a bicycle. And you have to totally be paying attention because most people get to a stoplight, and what do? They check their phone at a stoplight. Or some are texting as they go. But I can't ride on a road. And then when I see this story of Ron, I like Ron. But if you're not critical of Ron, like if Michael just came out and said, well, shucks, we made a mistake. That's not what the press release said. Unacceptable behavior. So what is the punishment today?
We don't know.
We don't know yet.
And we might not ever know.
No, but
publicly.
But so when you have the Kimdiche story and you have this guy, one of their defensive linemen getting released after he's arrested outside a strip club.
I think Kimdiche going to Miami is a great fit. I mean, there's no trouble he could get into down on South Beach, you know?
That was good.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions about what I'm about to do tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Because you and I have talked about it, like, a lot. So
I'm going to try to call you when I'm in recovery, just for fun. Just to say, how did the day go? How'd the show go? And I don't know if I'll call you Aunt Martha or Uncle Sue or, you know, I don't know.
But I mean, I'm happy that you're getting this done because I don't like to see you waddling around in pain. I mean, you'll be missed around here.
You know, when
like,
people said waddling.
We'll do our best to keep the ship moving through the harbor.
Sure, whatever. Some people heard you say the waddling thing, so I rode my bike harder. I'm not going to be a waddler. I cannot be a waddler. I will not be a waddler.
No, you won't. You'll have new knees.
July.
You'll waddle for a little while, but then hopefully you won't be waddling anymore.
July 5th, I was at 318. Today, I'm at 293.
That's great.
And they're going to get me up to walk tomorrow night. That's about the only part of this whole thing. Like, okay, so you're getting both replaced, and then there's a pain. They shoot you up in your back. And the pain wears off after 4 hours, or the drugs wear off after 4 hours. So in like that window where I've got to get up and walk tomorrow night, that's where I'm just going to be like, okay, you know, let's get after it. And so I'm excited for that. Brittany Griner, did you see this?
I did.
Do we have this? Did you find it?
Yeah, Jared has it.
Jared, why don't you roll this in? And so this happened over the weekend. Remember, so Brittany Griner has been getting beat up a lot. So there's a push, there's a shove, there's a push, there's a shove, and there they go. Oh, this is a minor dust up. Well, no, not exactly. Brittany Griner is going after her. And it's going to keep going. And, you know, let's settle this down a little bit. And so this was the Mercury and the Dallas Wings. And Diana Taurasi, after the game, said that Brittany Griner has been getting pushed around and punched and everything all season long. And this, unfortunately for the WNBA is saying that they are making progress and building their audience. I'm not going to dispute that because I haven't seen the numbers. But until you start seeing Sunday night WNBA and Saturday night WNBA on big ABC, and until you start seeing on TNT on Monday nights and Thursday nights games of the WNBA, then I'm going to say the national people at TV networks that matter most don't see it as you do. That's not a shot. Original WNBA play-by-play voice of the Mercury right here. Big believer in women's sports, but you guys can scream all day long until change happens with ratings. Ratings. And ratings and revenue. And reach. RRR. Until you have a broadcast deal for all of your games on radio, not just occasionally, and not just streaming, you have to get to a point of reach. And so the highlight like this ends up making it on the air versus a couple of jump shots and a layup.
And one of the more ironic things, Brad, is the woman that Brittany attacked was Christine Enigwe, who was a star at Desert Vista and went on to play at Cal. So you have a Mercury player attacking one of the Valley's
defending herself,
one of the Valley's greatest prep female basketball players in state history. So
they have a really good story there.
I guess.
Did you hear about Marvin Bagley?
I did not.
So Jerry reached out and asked him to come on the Team USA team that nobody wants to play on.
Right. It is an eclectic mix of players that they have.
It's not what I would call NBA All-Star Weekend.
Not exactly.
So and he was on the select team, meaning it was a younger group. So they pull him up. He's there one day and he quits. I don't know. There's just some stuff with Marvin Bagley, like when he was in high school, and my understanding was the Olympic people were told by the Bagley circle, yeah, all of us are going to go to Rio or none of us are going to go to Rio. And that was the end of that. You didn't see him on the rosters. So.
I just wonder every decision that Marvin makes, Marvin's decision or is it coming from a parent?
Circle.
A circle, yes.
Circle. This is the last week before. There's no high school this weekend, right?
No.
Next week there's high school.
Yes.
And there's college next week.
Yes.
And there's, because you have the ASU game a week from Thursday and you have the U of A game.
Yep.
So are you already on radars for high school games or college games next week? Which ones are you, because I'm not going to see you, so I'm just asking.
I will be at ASU's opener against Julian Edelman University.
Kent State.
And I will be at Jason Jewell's high school coaching debut. I believe it would be, a week from Friday?
Yeah.
Wow. Against Liberty at Phoenix College.
That is actually going to be a good game, right? For Liberty.
I don't know. Liberty has a good team.
They're going to smoke Jason,
sure,
right?
I'm not sure what to think of Brophy.
Oh, come on. But let's be nice. Liberty's going to smoke Jason.
First game of the year, Brad.
I love
know.
Jason.
You never know about you know how I feel about the first game of the year. You just can't predict anything.
Do you think Castile beats Centennial?
No.
You can't predict anything.
But those two teams have played last year, and I saw how that one went.
Yes.
So.
You did see how
that
went.
And that was with an experienced quarterback. So.
Yeah.
Castile.
All right. Our work is done here for today. We attempted to get Peter King. And very few times during the year does Peter not make it. But I get it with the Antonio Brown stuff going on. So it's just fun to talk today. We are going to now go work over on our television show that airs on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. It airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Jared Nielsen is the chairman of the board. Devin Hendry assisted behind the scenes on some shooting stuff today. We had Ralph and Chili in studio that you'll see up on the site later. Jordan Hamm is working on his recruiting stuff. Jordan is going to be sitting in this chair quite a bit while I'm gone on the TV show. And, of course, Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. Make sure you have a great weekend.